Well, the last couple of podcasts that I had done ahead because I knew that my wife and I were going to be out of town for almost 2 weeks because we took a trip from Florida up to Kentucky. And I wanted to take not the highways. Okay, you can take Route 75 and it goes right into Lexington where we were going. So we took some of the side roads, the back roads and all, and it was a good trip. Our son and family that's living there are probably going to be moving, and so we may not get up that way again. So I thought, you know, let's see what's between here and there, because it's a almost 900-mile trip. And so we took 2 days and drove through some of the back roads of Kentucky and Tennessee and Georgia. And one thing that we saw along the way was there was a lot of churches. Man, I mean, there was a Baptist church about every half mile and other churches in between. And that's not the Bible Belt. I mean, it's the belt, it's the pants, it's the whole suit. I mean, there is churches everywhere. And some of these places, there's not a lot of houses, but there's this really big, big church that's there. So I don't know if the people come down out of the hills to go and go to the churches there or what, but there was a lot of them, and named after every creek and river and mountain and town and all. And I should have counted the number of First Baptist churches we went by, because there was a bunch of them. But it was a good trip. We had a good time, and came back a different way. The first day we went on the back roads, and it was a little bit longer trip. So, because we ended up going through the Smoky Mountain National Park or National Forest, and most of that was 35 miles an hour, uphills, downhills, around corners, and all. So it was kind of a slow day. And so I decided on day two on our way back, we got on 75 and came back and made a lot better time. But it's always good to take a road trip. It's always good to be together with friends and family and all, but it's always good to be home too. But so, well, we made it, okay? We made it our trip, but we made it. Today is fruit punch number 9. Wow, we finally did it. So let's begin with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks for your word and how we can read your word over and over again and sometimes get something new out of it. Lord, it just amazes me. It shouldn't, but it does. Because your Holy Spirit speaks to us at different times and different ways. And so, Lord, I just give you thanks that we can look into your word and we can see what you have for us that may be different today when we read it than it was yesterday or 10 years ago. So, Father, just use your Holy Spirit to guide us today and open our ears so we can get your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin for the last time anyways, Galatians 5 verses 19 to 23, and this is from the International Standard Version, okay? It says, now the actions of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, quarrels, conflicts, factions, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild partying, and things like that. I am telling you now, as I have told you in the past, that people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Now, if you've been following along with the last 8 fruit punches, maybe you know what today is going to be, but we'll get to that in a minute because there's only one left. But today is the day that I'm going to look at a sin that got me in trouble when I spoke on it one time. I didn't realize how it had affected a friend of mine in the past. And when I was giving the message, he got up and left. And someone else from the church came up after the service was over and told me the connection there and how and it affected this person. Because it had been, well, 18, 20 years or so before, probably 20 years anyways. And he'd been drinking, and he was driving the car and was in an accident. And I don't know if it was because he had been drinking or the accident or just what the circumstances were. But anyways, his brother-in-law lost his life in that accident. And so he, you know, just continues to blame himself, whether it actually was his fault or not, just the fact that he had been drinking, and maybe if he hadn't been drinking, he could have avoided that accident. But since then, we've made amends, and we're closer now than we were before. So drunkenness is the sin that I want to look at today. Now, in the New Century Version, it simply says being drunk. And the Greek there is methē, which means drunkenness or intoxication. And, you know, too many people, including people that claim to be Christians, don't seem to have a problem with this. And, you know, maybe they don't recognize the implications. I want to look at what Paul had to say about this in Ephesians 5:18. And I'm going to give you four different versions or translations here. Okay, this is Ephesians 5:18 from the NIV. It says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The New Living Translation. Don't be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The New Century Version says, don't be drunk with wine. Okay, that's one line that they all got the same. It says, which will ruin you, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the Message. It says, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge drafts of Him. Now, I know this is going to be a controversial topic with some people that may be listening, but I think it's one that needs to be heard. Now, I know many of you will say that, you know, in the Bible, you know, they drank wine all the time. And that's true. But in most cases, it was not much more than grape juice. It had very little alcohol content to it. And you would have to really drink a lot of it to get drunk on it. And they drank the wine that they did because in most cases, the water wasn't fit to drink. And so they had to do something to try to make it drinkable, I guess. And so they made this wine or low alcohol content wine or like a grape juice that they drank more than anything else. Now, depending on the Bible version, the word drunk is mentioned 70 times. And I really couldn't find a time when it was a positive thing. So we need to maybe be mindful of that. And as Christians, we always need to be mindful of our actions, especially around non-believers. Okay, you're going around talking to people about Jesus, and that's great. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, your church and your Bible study and your, you know, your worship team and your pastor, and you're going on and on and on and on. And then the place that you work, they have a Christmas party or they have a summer picnic or whatever, and you have too much to drink. And people are going to say, yeah, what a great Christian that guy is. Look at him. Look at her making a fool out of themselves. We need to make sure, especially around non-believers, how we are perceived, because we are giving Christ a black mark. For 10 years, I worked as a corrections officer in a county jail. And it was a small county. You know, you knew a lot of people. You knew a lot of the prisoners. They'd come in time and time again. And there was this one guy that three times in 1 week, he was arrested for DUI. Three times. He had like 10 or more DUIs on his record. And he never did more than a year. Okay, and those three times that he had been arrested, he was never brought to jail. Okay, he just took the breathalyzer, and they took him to the town justice, and he was charged with the DUI, and somebody gave him a ride home, and that was it. And so he had to just come in and get fingerprinted. That's how I knew that was my job. And, you know, I believe everyone, I don't care if you're the town drunk or if you're the town doctor or the mayor or who you are, everyone that gets charged with DUI, I think they need to spend 24 hours in jail, and not just in a holding cell someplace. Put them up on the block somewhere where they can see where maybe if the situation was a little different, that's where they may end up. There was a man that was drunk, had caused an accident, and killed four or five members of this family, two or three little kids. And he lost a leg in the accident. And after his medical stuff got taken care of and all, he ended up spending a year in jail, okay, taking four or five lives, 1 year in jail. He could not wait to get out so he could go and get drunk again. That was all he talked about. You know, that few days before he was ready to be released, he said, well, I can't wait. You know, all my friends are going to meet me at whatever this bar was, and, you know, I'm going to just drink until I pass out. And not learned a thing about what it was that happened to his life and how he had ended the lives of those people. So let's move on and get to our last ingredient of the fruit punch, and that is self-control. Is that something you can use more of? Me too. Where do you need it? Okay, I mean, there's a million areas we can look at. Food, smoking, social media, alcohol, gossip, time, technology, TV, shopping, driving, pornography, gambling, lust. You know, it's just an endless list. And, you know, maybe I haven't even named where you need self-control yet. Or maybe I've named three, four, six different places where you need it. But if you're like me, when you're hearing that list, you're saying, yeah, I could use self-control there. Well, yeah, I can need more self-control in that area. And while I really struggle with self-control there, so why is it such a problem? Why do we have such a problem with self-control? And I think the number one reason is that we don't have the self-control that we need is that the world is pushing all of these things up against us. You know, the next time that you watch TV, look at how many ads there are for food, you know, different restaurants, you know, all these cooking shows, alcohol, you know, how many beer ads are there in a football game? You know, things that take your time, you know, they're advertising all these TV programs and, you know, buy this and buy that and go to this casino and all, and, you know, buy this car and all. It's being shoved down our throats. And if you look at the magazine and the newspaper ads, you know, it's buy this, go here, do that, you know. You know, I know I've looked on Amazon for different things, you know, a lot of different things, actually. And one thing I know, I looked for a printer, and so wanted to get a new printer, and it looked there. I looked on HP and some other places, and all. And so then I'm getting these pop-ups all the time for printers. You know, it was just endless. And even after I bought a printer from Amazon, I still got more ads for printers from Amazon. You know, every day I'm getting countless emails from Costco and Lowe's and HP and Sam's Club and all these different places, you know, where I'm on this sale, you know, buy this, you know, Mother's Day is coming, you know, you need to get your mother this and all that, you know, and some of these are places that I've dealt with and others are not. You know, there's this one electronics place. I haven't bought anything from them in 3 or 4 years, and at least a couple times a month, if not more, I get an email from them, you know, and I bought stuff because I was a pastor of a church and needed stuff for a sound system. And, you know, I have no need for anything that they're selling anymore, you know, and I don't even want to talk about how many emails my wife gets in her email every day from all these different places. And You know, some places are ones you've dealt with, and other ones are places you would never want to deal with. But the world wants us to have no control. They don't want us to have self-control. They want us to have no control. More accurately, they want to have control. The world does. And that's when we really get into trouble. Proverbs 25, verse 28 tells us this. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Okay, let me give you that again. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Because put yourself back in that culture, you know, over 2,000 years ago, and every city had walls around it to protect it, had gates. You know, at night the gates were closed and, you know, you didn't come in. And if your walls weren't secure, you know, you're going to be defeated. And if we don't have self-control, we're going to be defeated as well. We're going to be drunk and alienated and broke and high and overweight, and we're going to be unemployed and divorced, friendless, untrustworthy, you name it. Now, I'm not saying that all that stuff's going to happen to you if you don't have self-control, but it can start to lead into those negative areas, those things that we don't want in our lives. So we need to be sure that we know what we're doing. You know, you're going to be doomed to a life of those things, overweight, friendless, divorced, unemployed, if you don't have the self-control that you need. But something has to happen when we identify an area that we lack self-control. And what is it? What's the answer? What is it that we need? How can we have the self-control that we need? Well, as believers, there's only one place that we can go and get more self-control, and that's the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some scripture to help us see what this monumental task is. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul, he's been talking about the second coming of Christ and how we need to realize that it's going to happen and we don't know when it's going to happen. Okay, but I want to take a look at this passage from a different way. So this is a New Century Version, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 8. It says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not living in darkness, so that day will not surprise you like a thief. Okay, Paul is saying you're going to be ready for the second coming, okay, because you know the Lord. That's why he's calling you brothers and sisters. He says, you are all people who belong to the light and to the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness, so we should not be like other people who are sleeping, but we should be alert and have self-control. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But we belong to the day, so we should never control ourselves. Excuse me, we should control ourselves. Sorry about that. We should wear faith and love to protect us, and the hope of salvation should be our helmet. Okay, so what it's saying is, you know, we're different in the world. Okay, and it's the self-control that we have as believers that makes us different. You know, but sometimes we don't like to be different. You know, we want to be just one of the crowd, and we just want to be accepted. And we'll do things to be part of the cool group, to be part of the pack. I wasn't a believer when I was in high school. And at that time in New York State, drinking age was 18. And so when I was 16, 17, you know, we thought it would be cool to go out and go drinking. And I did it because I wanted to be one of the crowd. And so I didn't want to stick out because I wanted to be part of this group of guys that just thought they were really cool. And the girls thought they were really cool, so you wanted to be part of that group. So I didn't want to stick out. I wanted to be part of them. Well, did Jesus stick out in a crowd? Jesus usually was the reason for the crowd, that the crowd was around him, listening and watching. So we need to have the self-control that we need to not fall into the wrong crowd. Let me give you what I think is very, very important verse for us to remember on this subject. And it's one that I've maybe used in the not too recent past, I don't know, but it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is from the New Living Translation. Okay, so listen, and I'll maybe read it to you twice. It says, "The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." Now let me give you that from the Message. Because it says, "No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it." God's not going to let us be pushed past our limits. And I think God knows my limits better than I do. And like it said in the New Living Translation, it says, he's going to show you a way out. Okay? He'll show you a way out so you can endure. You can come up against that temptation and say, I'm not going your direction. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go that way. I'm not going to fall into this temptation. That's awesome. Except, I've got to make the choice. Do I take God's way out? Or do I fall? Do I accept God's help and display self-control? Or not? That's my choice. Okay? God's given us that choice. In the Lord's Prayer, when we pray that, we say, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God only wants to lead us away from temptation. But again, that's our choice. You know, and Paul knew that this was going to be a struggle. And so, in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 to 20, this is what he had to say in the New Century Version. Now, I want you to listen to this, okay? It's a little confusing. I know it's one when I get done reading, I kind of like, huh? But this is what Paul says. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am not spiritual, since sin rules me as if I were its slave. I do not understand the things I do. I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things that I hate. And if I do not want to do the hated things I do, that means I agree that the law is good. But I'm not really the one who is doing these hated things. It is the sin living in me that does them. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things that I want to do, but I do the bad things that I do not want to do. So if I do things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is the sin living in me that does those things." Got that? Yeah. Well, what I think it says is, I know what is right, and I really want to do it, but I choose to do what's wrong instead. In other words, we're human. That's why God grants us grace. Because if we had to pay over and over for the sins that we commit, we'd be in big trouble. But praise God for his amazing grace. Now, let's look at where our control should come from. Staying in the book of Romans, this is chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Did you catch that one phrase? Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So what we've got to do, okay, is make sure that we're allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can hope to make right choices and stay away from sin, is giving control to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples and us in John 14, 26. This is a New Living Translation. It says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you." So, the Holy Spirit is with us to teach us, to remind us, and to control us, if we allow him to. The whole reason that we need self-control is this. When God made us, he gave us a free will. Just ask Adam and Eve. Because we do have a free will, there needs to be something to control that. Now, I look at our world and the things that are going on, and, well, we're in big trouble. But can you imagine our world if there was no self-control? You think things are bad now, then things would be just, probably the world would have been destroyed long ago. We wouldn't even be here. Because with no self-control from no one, man, this world would be whacked out completely. There's a song that we sing at church. It's called No Longer Slaves. And in the chorus, it says this: "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." Now, you can replace the word fear with anything. You know, you can make it say, I am no longer a slave to porn. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to booze. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to drugs. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to money. I am a child of God. That's what we need to remember, is that because we are a child of God, we're not a slave to anything negative. Okay? Because we've given ourselves to the Lord. And we need to keep on giving and giving and giving ourselves to the Lord, because that's what's going to make us stronger. So, well, we made it. All 9 ingredients of fruit punch. And remember, that's what it is. It's fruit punch. It's not fruit salad. Okay? You can't pick and choose out of those 9 ingredients the ones that you like and shove the other 2, 3, 5 off to the side and say, nah, I don't need that. You know, it's that fruit punch that's all mixed together, and you can't separate the ingredients of fruit punch. And I don't know if you were here on board for the whole ride or not. It started the end of February, got stretched out with Easter being in there for a couple of weeks. And, you know, as with any message I've ever given, everyone might not agree with me, but I give you what I feel the Lord has given me. And so, you know, you can take it all, and you can take part of it, and you can turn your back on everything that I say. But it's the message that the Lord gives me. I'm going to be working on a website, and it will be called As Is Ministries. It's something that the Lord gave me a long time ago. Didn't know how that was going to fit into my life or my ministry in whatever way. But as I look at the feed hits that I get, I'm getting feed hits from different parts of the world, which I never expected. I'm getting probably an average now of 100 and over 100 feed hits a day. And so there may be somebody out there that needs something more from me. And so the Lord has really put on my heart that I need to have a website to maybe be able to share more, maybe be able to answer some questions, or maybe be able to get some answers to questions. And so I'm going to let you know how that progresses and when it finally is up. But all of this really isn't important. The only thing that's important is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to have. That's where our life in the Lord begins. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to us. And so you need to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. You need to know that He died for your sins. You know, those times that you've lacked that self-control and you've fallen over and over and over again in this area and that area and that area. You know, you can take that to the Lord and you can say, "Forgive me. You know, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that You died on the cross for my sins. And I know that You rose from the dead and You're coming back again," just like in 1 Thessalonians that Paul was talking to them about being ready. The only way you can be ready is to have that relationship. And so if you haven't made that commitment to Christ, make it today. Make it now. And just give your life to Him. Don't let Jesus just be your Savior. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you and remind you and teach you. And then you can walk more and more in the Lord. In His name. Amen.